Hello and welcome to Multiverse of Marketing. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is J.R. Sweeney. That one actually took a little out of me.
Wow.
Yeah, every time I do that, a tiny little bit of my soul flies away and someday I'll be empty.
Okay, so cancel the show?
No, it's one of those things where ultimately it's doomed, but it's the act of doing. It's the act of doing.
A little death.
Yeah, it's worth it. And speaking of worth it, we're taking a little bit of an easier episode this week. We're laying back. It's cool. No studio died for what we are about to talk about. Thankfully, it's good. It's fine.
Yeah,
mostly.
Not that I know of, anyway.
This is a simple movie adaptation. Of a film that, if you think about it, has really batshit origins, and is tied to something very, 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 very special to, I'm sure, everyone's heart who is listening, because we are all fucking nerds.
Speak for yourself, nerd. I was playing football in high school and crushing ass. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Later in high school, sure. Early high school, not so much. But yeah, this is Willow.
Yeah, I will confess, I was a nervous kid. Well, I'm a nervous adult, so I guess I should just say I'm a nervous person in general. When Willow came out, it freaked me the fuck out. Specifically, I mean, the scene where everybody turned into pigs, I noped the fuck out of there. I was just like, nope, can't do that. Too real. So, yeah.
I never watched it as a kid. I didn't watch it until like I was in my early 20s. It was always there. It was always available, but I loved animation as a kid.
Yeah.
Fucking loved animation. And so I just had no interest for the most part in something that when you look at it, it's like, this should be an animation. And there was just something that I was like, no, I don't like, live action fantasy. This was a thing that, or like, I don't like live action movies intended for children. There was something truly cringe about them, and it just didn't appeal to me. I didn't like that. I liked either stuff that wasn't directed for kids, or I liked cartoons. No in between.
That's fair. I, by and large, my thing was, you know, I would watch sitcoms and stuff like that, but when it came to a lot of movies, I generally did not give a shit about things that could actually happen. That was really my main thing. Like, I did not go to the movies to see regular people with regular problems, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even movies that were ostensibly geared toward children, that were more realistic in terms of, you know, like Man of the House, where Chevy Chase is Jonathan Taylor Thomas, I think's stepdad. Mm-hmm. You know, fuck that. Like, I don't want to, I can, that's half the kids at my school. Why do I give a shit? You know?
Exactly. The ones that I would watch, the live action made for kids stuff, would be like Macaulay Culkin's Richie Rich, where it's like, this is absurd and is intentionally, it's a comic. It's a comic book. Right. Namely the Richie Rich comic books, but it rolls hard with it and it's allowed to because it's literally intended for children.
Who made a comic book of that?
I'll slap you so hard. like, or Casper, which of course was just a really well done movie and visual effect extravaganza for the time, like early CGI at its height, when it was not too difficult to make a rounded ghost. I mean, like, if you think about it, you don't have to worry about fidelity.
I was a big fan of Casper, but primarily because I completely understand the idea of having the freedom and power of a ghost and using it purely to creep on Christina Ricci. But anyway,
fair and valid, and I respect all Ghostbuster movies.
Yeah.
But moving on. But speaking of special effects extravaganzas, Willow certainly was one. It certainly tried. It applied everything it could. And the thing about Willow the movie, we'll get into the comic in a bit, but like, the movie's one of those weird projects where it's like, first we have to talk about this or else you won't understand what the hell. This was written and created by George Lucas as essentially thought detritus while he was creating the early drafts of the Journal of the Wills, a story of Star Wars. Like, it's other aspects of myth that he couldn't use or he didn't have any use for in Star Wars, but it's like, oh, I really like this element. And so he engineered, like, it's a spiritual sequel / partner to the original Star Wars trilogy. And this is the thing that breaks my mind just a tiny bit. Young George Lucas is looking at his prospects. He's made American Graffiti and THX a few times at this point. And studios are like, what is this young ingenue brilliance going to do? And he's got two projects in front of him. One is essentially a cheap ripoff of Lord of the Rings written by himself. And the other is a cheap ripoff of Flash Gordon written by himself. And he looks at the cheap ripoff Lord of the Rings and he goes, you are too audacious. You will require more technological skill, know-how, and innovation than the Star Wars trilogy. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it, yeah. Okay, yeah, no, you can completely see how, yes, Star Wars had to exist before this film could, because holy shit, audacious, and well done. Yes, you can obviously see where they have, like, imprinted on different shots of actors. This isn't flawless. This is, here's us achieving the intention we meant to. Mm-hmm. And as a spectacular, like, a visual spectacular, it's like, oh shit, you actually pulled it off. You managed to do low rent Lord of the Rings and it works.
Yeah.
Visually, innovatively, story-wise, character-wise.
Yeah.
Damn, George Lucas. Damn.
Yeah, it's taken a while to really be recognized as such. At the time, It wasn't great.
No one wanted to see this. No one wanted to see live action fantasies. I mean, like, you've got Princess Bride, you've got Legend, you've got Willow,
Labyrinth,
Dark Crystal. Most of these are not great financial successes, by
right.
the way.
Right.
And we are talking about, like, an entire decade of film where, like, if you ask me sci-fis that came out in the 80s, I would probably not shut up for a while. Like, that's me. I wouldn't shut up for a while. However, we've named five, and I know there's a couple more, but I'm struggling to remember them.
Well, there were
Conan several. And Excalibur.
Yeah.
Yes. There it is.
There was the Thor movie.
I feel that's more a B film.
Well, myself, certainly, like, a lot of them were Mystery Science Theater fodder, and certainly wound up there. But yeah, generally speaking, in terms of, you know, Hollywood cinema, there wasn't a lot of fantasy.
Yeah, it looked too silly. They didn't know how to shoot it. It all looks, ends up looking like kind of, It all ends up kind of looking like greased over English countryside.
Well, yeah. I mean, generally speaking, unless, you know, one thing Peter Jackson did really well when it comes to Lord of the Rings is he managed to shoot fantasy that does not look like a bunch of grown adults fucking around in somebody's backyard. And that's that's apparently a hard thing to do.
Because even this pulls off that fucking around in someone's backyard. And there are great shots in this where they have traveled the world to get landscapes. They're beautiful, yeah. Truly. But anything that is not in front of a real life vista looks like fucking around in someone's backyard.
Well, yeah. And so, you know, at the time that the movie came out, it made money. It made money, but not enough. It was kind of in that limbo where it made enough money to have made back its budget, but not enough to be, you know, certainly not enough to greenlight a sequel or anything like that. It was, I think all told, its total wound up being about $100 million over its budget.
And like, you know, you look at it and you're like, $100 million, wow, that should be enough. And it's like, you're not taking into account marketing to start with, which right. would have been less at the time, but say $15 million, so that gets cut off. You're now looking at $85 million profit. That's scarcely over twice the budget, and right. you need to be talking three times for any kind of success. I was just talking about Tron on another podcast, mm-hmm. and they were considering that a financial flop, and Tron made three times its budget.
Yeah.
This movie technically did, but also like,
but also I think had it been a modest success with a lot of positive word of mouth, that might have counted for something, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was the kind of thing that there were people that absolutely loved it when it came out, but by and large, it was just kind of like, okay. Like, and as those two things combined meant that the studio was not going to chance it. If you have a modest success with a lot of positive word of mouth, you can greenlight a sequel knowing that maybe a sequel might do better than the first one because maybe people found out about it after the fact or whatever else. But if you don't have the money and you don't have the word of mouth, you don't get a sequel. End of story. And there was
never really any call, interest, or cultural like curiosity with Willow. Mm-hmm. It exists. People acknowledge it as being good, but like no one goes around quoting it. there aren't even Family Guy jokes about it, and they abused everything over their long and overdrawn out life.
Yeah.
When bottom of the barrel mainstream comedy doesn't even reference you, or like, I'm sure maybe there's one reference in The Big Bang Theory, like one over hundreds, too many hundreds of episodes.
Yeah.
You know, like there's something where it just doesn't pick up that traction that other things do.
To be fair, even two episodes of The Big Bang Theory is too many. But yeah, and so it's a pity because I like Warwick Davis.
Always fun.
I am always happy when Warwick Davis is able to be in a movie and it does not require him to sit in a makeup chair for 5 hours a day.
Or have to talk to Anthony Daniels.
Well, yeah, that too. Fate worse than death. but the, you know, Val Kilmer, yeah, on board with all, you know, it's the kind of movie that, looking back on it now, I really like it. As I said, at the time I was just like, it got to the part where everybody became pigs and I was just like, ha ha, no not doing that.
Nope. But when this came out, Lucas being Lucas, and Lucas having had, of course, tons and tons and tons of merchandising and marketing success with Star Wars, he applied same to same and put out like a little bit of a marketing merchandising blitz, and that included a comic book adaptation. And of course, since he had such great success over at Marvel Comics, with the long-running original Star Wars series, which we have covered previously, they, of course, went there. And the result is surprisingly shit.
I will say, I'm not going to say it's shit, personally. I will say it is a straight C student. It does the job. It is.
I'm saying it's shit only because, like, very specifically, by the half dozens time I have flipped back and forth between pages because I'm certain there are panels, if not entire pages, missing.
Mm-hmm.
You fail on a technicality.
Yeah, no, you know, like,
you've made too many errors. Sorry, it doesn't matter what kind of error it is. You ran a red light in a driver's test. If you were perfect until then, but no, sorry, insta fail.
That's fair. You know, it is a fairly straight one-to-one adaptation. It's not great. You know, but it is the kind of comic that exists to let you know of a movie. And
exactly. Like, that's the difference between it and the original Star Wars adaptation. The original Star Wars adaptation had passion behind it. It had the interest of, like, two young creatives who really got this insane idea. And this is just, okay, we've got a contract in. I'm assigning it to you. Do it. And it's like, there is no passion for the material in this. And that is such a shame because, like, as impressive as the movie Willow is for the time, technologically, visually speaking, a comic book should allow this material to fucking blossom.
Yeah.
And instead it just goes, bah!
I mean, it ticks boxes in that.
Yeah, it's a tick, all right.
It does not completely shit the bed. It does not completely shit the bed.
It does get to the end of the story and all the points do match up. Sure. Absolutely.
You can tell the difference between characters. I'm not going to say that they captured Val Kilmer, but you can tell even among the Nelwyn, because your primary cast is a human man, a human woman, a Nelwyn, a baby, and a couple of brownies.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the likenesses were such that you couldn't tell anyone apart, at the very least you could go by size or things like that. But when it comes to even among the Nelwyn, you can tell characters apart. Ticks a box, things like that.
Not quite the likeness of Kevin Pollak, but you get the impression of Kevin Pollak.
Well, at the very least, you can tell who is supposed to be who from one panel to another. But it was the actual comic was written by Mary Jo Duffy, illustrated by Bob Hall, inked by Romeo Tangal, lettered by Joe Rosen, colored by Bob Sharon, and edited by Bob Budiansky and Tom DeFalco. It's fine. Reading it, it does have a couple of scenes that were not in the movie. So
and those are the scenes that actually stand out as the best because they're being comic book writers. They're simply writing a scene that doesn't otherwise exist. They're drawing it however the hell they want.
Yeah. And so reading it may give you a certain insight beyond what the movie provides. Whether or not that will be any greater than if you, say, read a novelization, I'm not gonna make that claim, but
I would really hope that is actually clear because again the amount of like in between material that is just cut that is kind of necessary to connect even small aspects in scenes together. Otherwise, it just seems to be leaping around for no particular reason.
Yeah,
like. There are just connecting shots that are in the movie, moments, characters, events that, and they're tiny little things, but they're how the movie goes from A to B without it jumping there. And this comic just jumps so often that it's really, I find it really abrupt and interruptive.
Yeah.
Like this was not a fun read. It's beautifully drawn in that 80s style of like fantasy. I really liked I love 80s comic book art. There's something about just that pre image era and pre digital era. Mm-hmm. That whatever it's just I maybe it was to cram it into three books instead of four, I don't know, but it feels too truncated. There are efforts made to squeeze the film into the comic book instead of allowing it to be told mm-hmm. over the page.
Yeah.
And it's just, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fair. Overall, I guess, don't really worry about it unless you just... cannot fucking wait for the Disney Plus series, and you need some more Willow right goddamn now. Otherwise, I don't know.
And you know that Marvel's going to pump out a new Willow comic book series, and it's going to continue for a few years, and it'll actually be likely a success, at least among the fandom, which again is one of those stealth things that's like, I'm sure there's always been a Willow fandom, but like, I've never met someone who's been like, hey, you know what is just fucking tits and ice cream? Willow.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am sure they exist, but yeah, I've never met anyone who was a Willow super fan. I've met people who liked it, but I've never met someone who, you know, in the same way that like Harry Potter fans know their Patronus and their house and blah blah blah, or Marvel fans are like, you know, I've never met a Willow fan like that. And you know, if you're a Willow fan and you're feeling really overlooked, shoot us a message at multiversomarketing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, you beautiful, beautiful unicorn.
Because yeah, seriously, I demand proof that you exist, and I'm too lazy to go looking for the message boards, which I'm just going to assume are on the dark web and have not been updated since like Yahoo.
Yeah, it's 2022. There are no message boards. Social media destroyed message boards. But watch, there is somebody out there who's like sitting there at a computer with like a replica of the wand behind them and like Val Kilmer's Mad Mardigan wig in a glass case, just sitting there like, to whom it may concern.
He's listening to this right now, just being like, that is not what I sound like.
I'm sorry. I did make it sound way too worldly. I mean, it's a good movie. I enjoy Willow. I just, you know, sure. Why not?
Yeah, I'll give a sure why not to the movie, a sure why not to the upcoming Disney Plus one, but yeah, I will sit through some shit comics, and I have sat through some shit comics in my life. I once read over 100 Rob Liefeld in a row. That was bad.
Were you suing Rob Liefeld?
I was trying to, someone had told me that like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, the best line ever, the best ever was the original X-Force, the Jim Lee era, whatever the fuck era. And then they spewed off about like fucking Deadpool and then off on a bunch of like other shit. And essentially they gave me a collection of Rob Liefeld comics digitally. And I sat there and read through them because I had nothing else at the time to read through. Just like on my phone.
Okay.
And I fucking despise it.
I have to ask.
Nah.
Did you want to fuck them? Like, I'm trying... I've done some things that I regret. My now wife, when we first got together, she was like, you know what book I really like? And I'm like, what? And she's like, The Fountainhead. And I sat and read that fucking book. So I get it. If that's the case, I get it. But I'm just saying, like, if not, then not worth it. Not worth it.
I'm really stubborn. And I was right. It wasn't worth it. You were right. It wasn't worth it. They were wrong. At least we won the argument.
I don't need to read 100 issues of anything by Rob Liefeld to win that argument. Yeah, I open it to a random page, and then it's just like, look at what he did. Look at what he did to us. And then I win. Sorry, this got way off track.
I know. Oh, delightfully though. But yeah, well, there's not really anything else to say about this comic. It failed. There wasn't a continuation. There hasn't been a continuation. If you attempt to search Willow comic online, enjoy your Buffy spinoff material.
Yeah, that's really it. I don't know if we've not decided what we're actually doing next. I know in the near future we're supposed to be doing Transformers.
Yes, at some point we're going to definitely deep dive into that.
I was going to suggest Subway, the Justice League Subway comic.
That works.
My greatest wish, and it was unfulfilled, I guess, spoiler warning, was that the Subway Justice League comics would have had, you know, Superman or somebody being like, thanks, Jared, you're the real hero. And Martian Manhunter in the background just like, no, oh no, you did, pull out.
just Martian Manhunter and Batman exchange looks and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah, so join us for that, I guess. And then like and subscribe wherever you get your fresh podcasts from. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Email us at multiversomarketing@gmail.com. Nat.
Are you accenting your point like a pro wrestler?
When we get into the ring, brother, you're gonna know. Do all the podcast stuff. You know what this is. You knew what this was when you clicked. Anyway.
Happy 13th episode.
Bye.